So far in our study of the book of Hebrews, we've seen the writer mention a person by the name of Melchizedek, and that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's what we saw in chapter 5 and again in chapter 6. And it's only been a brief mention of this, and for dullness of the readers required a necessary digression, if you will. And that's what we saw in chapter 5, beginning in verse 11 through chapter 6 in verse 20. But now the writer returns to his theme concerning Melchizedek, where he establishes the greatness of Melchizedek. And that's where we're at today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And in verses 11 through 19, he's going to show the significance of Melchizedek's priesthood. And then in verses 20 through 28, he's going to illustrate the greatness of the priesthood of Christ. Now, since this subject is meat compared to the milk of the word, Hebrews 5, we want to approach it slowly and carefully, allowing ourselves to slowly digest what is said in this seventh chapter of Hebrews. So for this reason, this lesson is going to limit itself to the first 10 verses, where we are going to read of the greatness of Melchizedek. Now, we're not going to take the time. We won't have the time because of only having 15 minutes for this lesson to read all 10 verses. But it shows his greatness, and you can read them at your leisure to get an appreciation for his greatness. So, in order to appreciate his greatness, we have to be aware of his history. And that's what we see in verses 1 through 3. The historical record of Melchizedek is found in Genesis 14. We read about him first in the Battle of the Kings in Genesis 14, 1 through 11, where Lot is living in Sodom and Gomorrah and is captured. And then he's rescued by his uncle Abram, or Abraham, in Genesis 14, verses 12 through 17. Now, as Abraham, or Abram, is returning, he's met by Melchizedek in Genesis 14 and verse 18. He's described there as the king of Salem. That's later thought to be known as Jerusalem. And he is also the priest of the God Most High. Now, in this meeting, two things happen. First of all, in Genesis 14 and verse 19, Melchizedek blesses Abram. And in verse 20, we see that Abram pays tithes to Melchizedek. Now, in referring to Melchizedek, the author of the Hebrew letter summarizes the events in chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. He talked about how Melchizedek met Abraham and blessed him, and how Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had, that is, he tithed to Melchizedek. And in verse 2, he explains the meaning of Melchizedek's name and his title. He says the name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness, and the title King of Salem means King of Peace. Now, this makes some intriguing statements, or the writer now makes some intriguing statements about Melchizedek. He says he is without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. He's made like the Son of God, and he remains a priest continually. So when the Hebrew writer makes these kinds of statements about this man, the question begs to be asked, who is Melchizedek? Well, there have been several suggestions about who he was. Origen suggested that he was an angel. Hushus and Calmet suggest that he was Enoch. Jerome and Luther say that he was Shem. And others have taken the statements in verse 3 to suggest that this Melchizedek was a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And they base that on the following reasons. Verse 2, his name, Melchizedek, meaning King of Righteousness. Also from verse 2, he was designated as King of Peace. And then the possibility that the lack of recorded genealogy mentioned in verse 3 is due to actual lack of ancestors rather than the mere absence of a historical record. And also from verse 3, is said that he remains a priest continually, and he is contrasted with that of mortal men in the first part of verse 8. In the second part of verse 8, it says of him that he is witnessed, it is witnessed that he lives. But most take that he was simply a man, and we notice that in verse 4. But because he appears suddenly in Scripture as a priest, with no mention of parents or genealogy, with no mention of his birth or his death, with only a mention of him as a priest of God Most High, that he is a type of Christ and what his priesthood would be like. So, while the true identity of Melchizedek may remain a mystery because of the shortness of scriptural information, his importance as it relates to the superiority of Christ's priesthood becomes very clear as we continue our study. You see, in verses 4 through 10, the Hebrew writer talks about the significance of Melchizedek. In verses 4 through the first part of verse 6, he says Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham. Abraham paid a tenth to Melchizedek. Well, we can stop right here and talk about tithing and how the people of the religious world today misinterpret tithe. What Abraham did was give a tenth of everything that he owned and everything that he had taken as spoils from this rescue of Lot. And people today consider a tithe to be just their contribution or their donation to the church each week. They may put in an extra amount and they say they have tithed. A tithe is 10% of everything that you gain wealth from, whatever your wealth is, however much your wealth is. So people today misunderstand what a tithe is. And we'll just have to leave it there for today due to time constraints. But we see that Abraham paid a tenth of everything that he had to Melchizedek. Now, just as the nation of Israel is going to later pay a tenth to the sons of Levi. So Abraham, as great as he was, showed his deference to Melchizedek. And then we notice, picking up in the second part of verse 6 and verse 7, that Melchizedek blessed Abraham. He blessed him who had the promises, that is Abraham. You'll remember from Genesis 12, the story of Melchizedek is in Genesis 14. In Genesis 12, the first three verses there, God made three promises to Abraham. And that would be reflected upon who Abraham is and the chosen people coming from Abraham and his seed. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham who had the promises. And there's no dispute that the lesser is blessed by the better. So Melchizedek is clearly, in this instance, better than Abraham. But also his service, that is Melchizedek's service, was not affected by death, according to verse 8. In the priesthood under the Jewish system, in other words, the Levitical or Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, tithes were received by mortal men whose service ended at death. But it has been witnessed that Melchizedek lives. Remember, verse 3 of our text says that he remains a priesthood continually. Now, how he lives and remains a priest continually, the Bible doesn't tell us. But in this way, Melchizedek is greater than the Levitical priest or the priesthood of Aaron. And that's a point made concerning Jesus later on in this chapter. But we notice in verses 9 and 10 that even Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. You see, Levi was in the loins of his father. He was part of the promise made to Abraham when Melchizedek had met him. Going back to Genesis 12, Levi was part of that promise of lineage of seed that would be part of Abraham's descendants. And so Levi, who pays tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Again, illustrating the greatness of Melchizedek as one who is greater than Levi. I wish there was more time to talk about Melchizedek. I wish I knew more about Melchizedek. We look back at what man and scholars today seem to think that he was. Was he a theophany? A pre-incarnate appearance of Christ? We don't know. Was he an angel? Was he Enoch? Was he Shem? Or was he just simply a man? Either way, he's one whose biblical record is such that he serves as a type of Christ. And if so, I would love to know where he came from and how he came to be priest of the God Most High. And how does he remain a priest continually? But this is what I do know. Jesus is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, as God has sworn. He would be in, as God would swear, in Psalm 110 and verse 4. The psalmist writes there, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And that Melchizedek is clearly presented to be greater than Abraham and Levi. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to try to understand the greatness of Melchizedek even more, because this helps us to appreciate the superiority of the priesthood of Christ over the Levitical or priesthood of Aaron. And that's what we're going to try to consider next week. But for now, there are things in the Bible, things in God's Word, that we don't fully understand. And Melchizedek may be one of those instances. We don't have a full understanding of who he is, but he is given to us so that we can understand the greatness of the Son of God and how Jesus serves in the capacity that he does today in our lives. He is our high priest, and it's him that we go to for everything that we need. It's him that we must offer up our prayers and petitions through him to God the Father. But also, we need to look at everything that Jesus has done. Everything that we know in the Word of God, everything that we do according to the Word of God, has to be done by Jesus' authority. We cannot do as we wish. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it bothers me that so many people claim to love Jesus, but they want to worship God in the way that they want to worship God. It bothers me. And it ought to bother everyone, because there are so many things that Jesus does not give authority for that so many people in the religious world today are taking advantage of and abusing. I want to thank you for being with me today. If you'd like to discuss this lesson or any other lesson, feel free to contact me. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can listen to this lesson again by going to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. There are plenty of lessons there for you to listen to. There are articles to be read under the column, The Encourager. That's the name of our weekly bulletin. But you can listen to this lesson and other radio lessons again. You can also listen to sermons. They're all under the heading there of sermons. Again, you can join us this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study. We are in the Gospel of John. You can join us on Wednesday nights for our midweek Bible study. We're in the book of Judges. And we would be glad to have you visit with us at any time. Thank you again for being with me.